I'm in, you know, financial mess. You know.
Radio.
Welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host, Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of Our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we do take a close look at one of the appearances the Blessed Mary has made during the last 2,000 years. She started in 40 AD, and she's still going, even recently. So, of course, we don't hear about the recent ones quite as quickly. Sometimes it takes 5, 10, even 20 years to get the whole story from more recent visits, as especially if they're occurring right now. But anyway, for those who aren't familiar with that, it's actually something that kind of remains hidden to a lot of people in the world. They think it's fantasy or made up or hallucinating or some Catholic thing, and they don't take it seriously. I was Methodist for most of my life, and then when I became Catholic about 11 years ago, I was amazed to learn about these apparitions. Having studied psychology and practicing therapy for many, 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 many years, I had never run across anything like this. So I studied it very carefully and professionally and took a good look at it and was amazed at how real and how credible it all is. And, of course, science and other professionals have been studying it, and they come up with the same conclusions, too, that it's credible, it's real, it's amazing, it's supernatural, it's not explained by any kind of psychological or other phenomenon. Just nothing explains it except, and that it certainly seems to be coming from God and is very, very important to understand. Where else do we get glimpses from heaven as to what we should be doing, what we should be worrying about, what we should be expecting, what we should be doing about that, but through Mary and Jesus? And Mary is part of that team that, as the mother of our Lord, she's here assisting, and he's made appearances too. As we know, with people like St. Faustina and others, Padre Pio, Jesus has been making appearances, but his mother has been doing so as well, and she's been doing quite a bit. So we take this very seriously. We think that this is important to share the research with the world and give you the best details and the best information at all times. I know some people might not agree with some of the information, but that's your choice, always your choice. We just put out the best information available and always give you the approval status, which, by the way, this one tonight in Betania, Venezuela, has been approved officially and by the Vatican. And so just for that right up front. And Betania is probably Spanish for Bethany. So when you say Betania, you can think of Bethany, Venezuela, in South America. We'll be going there in just a few minutes and seeing how it all started and what happened. And it's a very interesting story with many components, and it'll probably take 2 or 3 weeks to get through. There's quite a bit that happened there, but very interesting stuff, to say the least. And before we get going, we want to check in with our team. First off, we have, hopefully he's available, Mike is with us. Are you right there, Mike?
I'm right here.
All right. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good. I know you had a bit of a flu or something last week, and, of course, we let the Super Bowl take front stage last week and not compete with it. So that worked out for you, too. anyway, and we have Kathy from Missouri, from the most tastiest town in Missouri, Bourbon, Missouri.
Hi, John. Hi, Mike. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Doing okay.
Always glad to have you with us. And we have one more from Colorado, the great state of Colorado. We have Coming online right now, Joseph, our warrior in the streets, fighting
Hello,
for
Joseph.
What's right.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Give us a little report how things have been going for you.
They've been interesting. Very interesting stories, encounters, and then dealing with my stuff. Keep on a little downslope. I'm just keep on going down a little bit medically, and one thing after another, and I keep on dealing. I have encounters, whether it's from someone I gave literature to, whether I gave it to them out at Planned Motherhood, or I encountered them in the food store or a restaurant or wherever the heck I am, or someone asked me to talk to someone, which happened Friday night, and young lady was going to have an abortion yesterday, and to find out it's a Catholic young lady. And, just because someone's Christian in any way, shape, or form, don't think they necessarily have what it takes to hold on to that truth. You got to talk to people. People need to know these subjects, no matter what, because the devil's always trying to mislead us. And
that's right.
And a mutual friend, called me and said, "Hey, I got someone I would like you to talk to, if you would. And can I give you? Can I give her your number?" And I'm like, you tried to talk to her, and he said, "Yeah," and I didn't do so well, and I don't know what to say, but I told her about you, and I'm like, sure, He says, "Well, good, because I already gave her your number," and she called me about an hour and a half later, and then we agreed to meet. Talking over the phone just doesn't cut it. It really doesn't. You got to look in their eyes and be able to see if you're getting to them. If they're getting it. And as we're talking, and I always in the intermission, so to speak, while they're talking, I pray, small prayers, God help me and guide me and give me the right words, Holy Spirit, and I'm going through all that and talking and back and forth, and then it just really became clear, and then I'm like, okay, I got to mention this on the right time, and about 20 minutes later, I said, "You were raped, weren't you?" And she was just dumbfounded. He didn't know that, my friend. She never told him. And she was just like shocked. And this has happened to me. Probably 20 times. That I've been able to tell the people what happened to them. Rape and incest and had sex with 10 people at a party, and I mean one thing after another, she starts crying and got pretty emotional, we're in a restaurant at that point, and she's like, let's go outside, and she didn't know I didn't drive, and I took a taxi there, and she's okay, let's sit in my car. And then she says, I really don't live that far away, you want to go to my place? I'm like, are you okay to go to your place? Are you really okay? No odd feelings, you're not going to try and do anything, if anything is in question, let's just stay here, And she said, no, and so we went there, and 6 hours later, I got to her, and And she agreed to keep the baby, and this frustrates me so much. It happens all the time, or a lot of times. I'm like, if you can't handle this, you give the baby up for adoption. Oh, I could never do that. But you were contemplating killing it. Well, what am I killing? I said, come on. I said, come on. You know, life begins at conception. And she's like, well, does it really? And she's like, how come we don't hear it? And, how come we don't hear it in the church? How come they don't say anything much about it? I said, they say little things, I'm sure you've heard things. 40 Days for Life has been going on so long. It's mentioned at most Catholic churches, so you've heard stuff, And she just hadn't heard enough, that's for sure. Anyway, she's having the baby, and she needs help. She lives with another girl, and neither one of them do that well. And so, to show, to knock it home that I was definitely going to help her, I right then and there, ordered her a crib and a car seat. And I'm like, well, those are the two most important things you're going to need. So there you go, and everything else we'll figure out along the way, So there she is.
What number is that of saves that you have now?
What do I have? Two more since, 125, yeah.
Okay, folks, you heard that. He has saved 1,025 lives. 1,025 lives. Oh, I tell you, your entry into heaven is going to be glorious. They'll probably have trumpets going and crowds. Get ready for that. You've saved lives. It's incredible.
Well, guaranteed. That is no guarantee. We all have to, give ourselves to God and repent from all of our sins. And no matter what you've done good in your life, you can still fall short. And so you gotta keep on picking yourself back up and, sticking with God. It's a tough thing. When I read the Bible, I get God detests this, that, and the other thing. And if you do this, that, and the other thing, you got permanent destruction. At the same time, He's merciful and forgiving and loving, And so where do we fall in that line, So we just got to keep on, keep on striving to follow, Jesus. And we're going to fall. We're going to fall. Just get back up. And even if it's not at that moment, get back up eventually. Don't stay in that bad place. And turn to Him, and He will forgive you, and He'll show you the way, and He'll help you, He helps my sorry ass constantly, in the meetings, in my personal life, and in my health, and being messed with 30 years later by workers' comp messing with me and not okaying medical things when my doctors that they found me request and thank God the doctors know that they're messing with me and the doctor helped me just the other day had to not tell them something they want my injury to be strictly a neck injury. Okay, this is 30 years later. This is over 300 and some odd medical procedures, and they really think it's just a neck injury. And my doctor was so mad about it, and I was getting injections, and so once the door was closed, I don't even care if they hear this. And once the door was closed, he says, "Where do you want the injection? where do you need the injection? And my hand, my good hand, it hurts so bad. There's so much nerve damage in my hand from having the only, you know, the only hand I use, because I can't use the other one. And so, you know, cooking for the homeless, doing everything I do, I've abused the heck out of it. And so I got extremely bad carpal tunnel and rotator cuff, and I got extra nerves involved, and it's a constant pain. I mean, it's really tough pain. And so, you know, he injected the heck out of him, and I got, you know, some relief, you know. I'll take what I can get, you know.
Yeah, stick with
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really good guy. He donates money to Life Network, you know, Pro Life Place. He's given me money five or six times. Yeah, he's a good guy. You know?
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's a true human being there, a true good soul that was put in your path to help and keep things going. Any reactions from you, Mike, or Kathy, before we start?
Well, like you say, his entry into heaven is going to be glorious and a half.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. All right, well, tonight...
Can only hope and pray.
Oh, absolutely. Tonight we're headed for South America, Batania, Venezuela. The year is 1984. And it was a gorgeous spring day for a large church picnic on March 25th. 1984, for the 108 people in attendance. A grotto nearby, the spring-fed waterfall, attracted the active children around 3 p.m. Hold on one second there. Okay, around 3 p.m., one of the children ran excitedly back to the resting adults to proclaim that the Blessed Mother was appearing to them above the waterfall near the grotto. Well, word spread quickly, and soon everybody decided to check it out and was rushing to see what the child was talking about. And then they all saw the incredible sight. That doesn't always happen, you know. But they all saw her. The glowing white figure of Our Lady stood out against the dark green trees. Many saw a blue sash around her waist, and she was holding the baby Jesus. Many were able to see the clear, beautiful features of her face. She was silent, like a statue, causing some to look for tricks or some kind of natural explanation. Well, of course, there's always somebody that's going to look for that. That's fine. But 15 minutes later, she evaporated or was absorbed into the trees. Then she appeared six more times that day to the delight of the onlookers. The seventh appearance, right before sunset, was very clear and detailed so that nobody could doubt that it was a strikingly beautiful woman, not a statue or any foggy illusion. All of the 108 people at this church picnic saw her clearly, not just children and poor people, but doctors, lawyers, a judge, priests, an army general, and even a few atheists. And we'll get to that in just a bit. Any reaction here as we start out? Any comments? All right, moving on.
One thing I'm noticing is that some of these apparitions, everybody, like this one, everybody sees her. But there are, in other of these apparitions, only certain people see her.
Like the children.
How do you... in your study of these apparitions, what governs that?
Well, that's a good question. It really is a good question. I don't know. I can tell you that sometimes only the visionaries see her, sometimes only children see her, and then sometimes everybody sees her. So I think heaven just decides how they want this to unfold, and maybe they have a good idea why they want to do it a certain way. For example, in Zeytun, Egypt, they appeared to 250,000 people every night over the church, you know, for 4 years, you know, it went on rather regularly. And the thought was, since there were so many different ethnic groups involved, that she didn't want to appear to one in particular because it might look like she's favoring that particular group. So by just appearing to all and having everyone see her, it had a better effect than like just appearing to one particular type of ethnic group. So that might be one explanation in that case. And this one, I don't know, but maybe we'll get a clue as we go on. The visionary, her name was Maria Esperanza, 55 years old at the time, was not surprised at this event because she had seen Mary on this same farm exactly 8 years earlier on the same date of March 25th, only in 1976. And at that time, Mary spoke to her and identified herself as, quote, the reconciler of people and nations. She had asked Maria to help promote prayer, conversion, sacrifice, and to have a church built there, all very common traits of apparitions. Maria had an interesting life after her father died when she was only 2 years old. When she was five, she had fears about her mother leaving to go on a trip, perhaps that she would die too. But as her mother departed, Maria saw a smiling woman rise from the nearby river and toss a rose toward her to console her. Maria used to dress up her dolls to look like nuns and priests. At age 12, she developed such a severe case of pneumonia that doctors only gave her a day or two to live. Young Maria prayed to the Virgin Mary about dying, and Mary appeared to her right there at age 12, assuring her that she would survive in order to serve God, and then told her what medications she needed. The doctors actually listened and heeded the heavenly advice, got those medications. Guess what? Maria Esperanza recovered as directed by the doctors, directed by Mary. She had several other private apparitions of both Mary and Jesus in her youth. All right. And during the grotto on that farm in 1976 was the most memorable, as she describes in her own words, quote, I was staring at the grotto when all of a sudden I saw a white cloud, which was enormous and beautiful. A friend thought a fire had broken out. So the friend actually saw it too. The cloud seemed to open and out came the Virgin Mary. And when she revealed her image, she went up to the top of a tree and I saw she was beautiful, beautiful with her dark brown hair, light brown eyes, very fine, very pretty eyebrows, tiny mouth, very straight nose, and beautiful complexion. Her skin seemed like silk. It was bronzed. I saw her dressed all in white, wearing a white mantle over her shoulders and on her head. She had some kind of veil which became tangled in the trees. She seemed very young, like age 15 or 16, with her hair down to her shoulders and very rosy cheeks, unquote. As Mary stretched out her hands, light poured forth, illuminating everything around her. Maria was humbled and overwhelmed by the dazzling sight. And then Mary spoke to her, quote, my little daughter, tell my children of all races, of all nations, of all religions, that I love them. All of my children are the same. There do not exist rich ones or poor ones, ugly ones or beautiful ones, black or white. I come to gather all of them to help them to go to the high mountain of Mount Zion, to my fertile land of Bethania in these times, so that they can be saved. I love all of them. To the youth, I am directing myself so that they will really serve me and make me happy to save the world. Little daughter, you are beholding me with my hands outstretched, with graces and wrapped in the splendor of light, to call all my children to conversion. All right. Anyone have any comments to this so far? Beautiful descriptions. And
John, that quote that you read there, mm-hmm. To the youth, I am happy. I am to the youth. I am redirecting. I am directing myself so that they will really serve me and make me happy to save the world. Well, I thought Jesus saved the world. Is there a contradiction there, or is there another explanation?
She's talking about the youth saving the world by becoming holy, and that will help save the world. Not that she's going to save the world. She's saying she's directing this to the youth, as they will serve her, make her happy, and they will save the world. That was the way I took it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. With their holiness, conversion. Go ahead.
Am I on?
Yeah.
John? Oh, okay. I wasn't when you came on last time. I had tried to speak.
Okay.
I kept on saying hello. Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, that's okay. Yeah, no big deal. You know, Christ saves the world, but Christ also calls people to do things. You know, and with the comment on last, when Mike said, you know, why does she appear to this one or that one at some times and to a couple thousand other times, you know, and I believe there's always a target, you know, whether it's hundreds of targets, you know, that
right.
You know, they know who's capable of doing something, you know, and just
right.
because everybody sees doesn't mean everybody's going to believe. You know, when I had the vision of Christ in adoration, you know, where I had stopped doing pro-life for those 3 weeks, I immediately went to the abortion clinic the next day, you know, and I haven't stopped, you know, and I would say before that, you know, same thing, you know, why does Christ or Mary appear to some individuals and not others, you know, why not appear to all of us and change the world right now, you know, the God has his ways, and trying
That's
to
right.
question him is never gonna work. You know, you'll never figure it out. We don't know his time. We don't know his reasons, but he does it. You know, and
right.
just know that it's all gonna happen. You know that Christ is gonna come again and make the world anew. And and we got to stick with that and hold on to these stories, these miracles, and don't forget them. You know, people easily let things go, including me, you know, having a vision of Christ, you know, it's unbelievable that you don't necessarily think about it. You know, I mean, it obviously keeps me going and the success that he's done through me and the Holy Spirit and the whole kit and caboodle. I mean, they give me everything, all the strength, all the armor that I need to survive everything I've been through and try to make a difference and you know, be somewhat successful.
Yeah, because here you have saved part of the world in terms of saving, with Jesus'
exactly.
help and guidance, 1,025 lives by yourself. So, indeed, that's part of this. And, you know, in the last part of the quote, she says, little daughter, She says, "You little daughter, you are beholding me with my hands outstretched with graces and wrapped in the splendor of light to call all my children to conversion." Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So,
and these babies, you know, with anything pro-life, whether it's even feeding the homeless, which a lot of people, even friends, will get on my case, you know, that I'm helping the homeless stay homeless. I said, no, I'm not. I'm helping them stay alive, you know, giving them gloves and hand warmers and jackets, you know, all lives have value. And we don't know how that life is going to be affected and what they're going to do in the world. Yeah, we always go for the big one. You know, could have been the best president, could have stopped AIDS and cancer and all that, you know. But, you know, maybe just would have been the best restaurant owner, maybe the best garbage man. Who the heck knows, you know. But that life has value no matter what.
Yeah, it reminds me of the poster I saw once where it says, "Why can't God give us a doctor who will find the cure for cancer?" And then it says, "He did.
Yeah.
You have ordered that person."
He did. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And I totally believe that.
I
totally believe it.
And as she said there, she is talking to all people, all races, all cultures, all religions, all ages, everything. Just like you said, everybody matters. And that's a good way to think. So, anyway, many more apparitions occurred in the following years. On one occasion, on this same farm, March 25th, 1978, just 2 years later from the very first one, many saw a radiant mist coming from the woods. As the mist settled on the top of a large tree, Maria, along with 15 others, saw Our Lady materialize with hands on her chest. Maria heard, quote, "Little daughter, this is not a dream. My presence among you is real," unquote. I like that. And then Maria says, "Her hands opened up and I saw what appeared to be rays coming from her hands. They came directly toward us, bathing us with light. And one man cried out, 'Everything is burning up. The whole area appeared to be on fire, but it was beautiful. The sun began to gyrate and spin, and everyone was shouting with emotion,'" unquote. Wow. So a little bit of a celestial display there of some sort, with the sun gyrating and lights and rays of light coming from her hands is not unusual. We saw that with Fatima. We saw that with Miraculous Metal and other apparitions. We've seen rays of light coming from her fingers, from her hands. Any comments on that?
Well, you know, those rays of light just showing, her glory and God's glory and how that light will shine forth, you know, and that it would affect others, but you know, just by seeing that, you know, that these people would wake up and again, you know, who would carry the torch and who would go on and to do something about it and who would report the story, you know, and thank God. Thank God some have, you know.
Right. Well, and we've theorized, since Jesus is the light of the world, that when this light is around her and coming from her, it's actually Jesus' presence, since he is considered the light of the world. And that especially comes from one apparition in La Salette when Melanie very meticulously put in her diary that she saw the light that was surrounding Mary coming from Jesus on the crucifix around her neck. So that was a clue that Jesus was producing the light that Mary was within. And I thought that was a very interesting detail. So
yes,
it makes sense.
That's very interesting. You know, I know I've said this before, but a deacon gave me a crucifix. It would be 14 years ago, and it has Christ's relic of the cross inside the crucifix, and I've never not worn it. The only day I didn't wear it, a priest asked to borrow it to he was giving a talk, and when he wanted to give everybody blessings, he wanted to use my crucifix, knowing that relic was inside it, you know. And that was the only day I didn't wear it. Otherwise, you know, think about the protection that gives me. And when Deacon gave it to me, it was his grandfather's, and he said he didn't know anyone who deserved to wear it more than me. And I was just, like, dumbfounded, you know. And I'm like, are you sure? 'Cause, you know, he had kids. And grandkids and, you know, and nephews and nieces, and I'm like, someone's going to be really mad, you know, I think, you know. He says, yeah, none of them deserve it compared to you, you know. And I'm like, okay,
wow.
Sure, if you ever want it back, just ask me, you know. And that didn't happen, but yeah, you know, I wear it every single day, you know.
That's good. That was directed by God. God used him to give that to you. Yeah. Well, when this happened with the sun spinning and all the lights, Maria was overwhelmed and actually fell to the ground like fainting. But in front of everybody's eyes, her body slowly raised up into the air, causing her daughter Maria and goddaughter Jacqueline to cry inconsolably from fear, because during this levitation, the soft, tender voice of the Virgin Mary had asked her to accept the difficult task of bringing the message of peace and reconciliation to all nations. Word spread of these amazing sights. More apparitions continued and more messages were given to Maria regarding Betania becoming, quote, a new place of peace and harmony, unquote, and the importance of salvation, prayer, and reconciliation. So, just real quick, levitation has occurred. It happened in several other apparitions, including Garibaldo and some others, many of the saints. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe how many saints I read about that had experienced levitation, probably at least 15 or 20 or so. In a book I was reading, and it's just amazing how many experience that process when you're in direct contact with divinity. So it happened here, and everyone saw it happen. That would have been great when they had cell phones to get a video of that. You know, where was the cell phones then? Oh, well, if it happens again, maybe the cell phone will get it. Mary went on to say, she said, quote, mankind is currently abusing the graces received and is moving toward perdition. And if there is no change, he will succumb under fire, war, and death. But I am being sent into the world by God to avert or mitigate or lessen such a cataclysm, unquote. This is 1984. So interesting timing there. Mike, you probably have a comment on the timing. 1984, we know some of the events with Russia happened shortly after that too.
And the we know that the Cold War ended in around 1989. Mm-hmm. We also know Mary says if there is no change, he will succumb under fire, war, and death. We are inches away from war the Ukraine. Yeah. And guess who is one of the major participants of that? Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary has always talked about Russia being converted.
Yeah. Needing to be converted, that's right. Or, as she put it at Fatima, or we will have more problems from Russia if they never convert. Well, here we are.
Guess what?
So, yeah. Well, Bishop Ricardo wanted to investigate the events of March 25th, 1984 himself, and was most impressed by the reports that actually came from several atheists and agnostics. One of them gave the report. He said he was minding his own business, drinking water from the waterfall, when he saw the apparition without any preconception or expectation. And he said he was not psychologically prepared for this. Yeah, it's hard to see something that you don't believe in. You know? If you think about that, it really would shake you up when you don't believe in such a thing, and then there it is, appears right before you. But I think that's a strong
message. Probably saying, what the heck is that?
Yeah, right. Well, they knew who it was. Yeah. I mean, they didn't doubt.
Well, talking about that, you brought up that levitation before. So many so-called magicians and real screwballs out there use levitation all the time to get people to believe in them. And of course,
right.
those are false prophets. They're false. Who knows what the heck they are? You know, demonic forces of different sorts. And people need to remember that, you know, demonic forces are real and they're capable of doing a lot of things too. You know, yes, God wins and God can overpower him whenever the heck he wants. But these things have forces. You know, obviously these things aren't that. You know, it's a clear difference whether people see it or not. When it's good and evil, good or evil, you can almost always tell if half your brain is working. You know,
right. Well, an interesting thing happened next. Visionary Maria Esperanza said that the day before Pope John Paul II was shot, she told others that she knew that was going to happen, but she had no idea how she could warn him. That's real interesting. Then on 14 different occasions, with witnesses watching, a fragrant and beautiful red rose would emerge from her chest above her breast, causing great pain and embarrassment each time, which she endured graciously. Mary said she wanted people to notice her and believe in her words. But I tell you what, that would be pretty... You talk about magicians and magic tricks, to see a rose come out of your skin, out of your chest on 14 different occasions. I mean, they probably would have thought she was a witch by this point, you know, but no,
well, John,
this is, yes.
Well, John, you know that following Pope John Paul II being shot, after the trial of his would-be assassin was over with, the Pope visited him in his jail cell and forgave him.
Yep.
Right. And you know what he said to the Pope? He said, "How are you alive? I just don't miss."
Right.
That's what he said. Well, anyway, that's another story. But
yeah,
the Virgin.
Well, yeah,
the Virgin.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, okay. You know, talking about the Pope and the visions of Mary. You know, where the Pope is supposed to consecrate Russia. You know, I mean, do you know the answer on that? Did it happen or not? I hear both sides constantly. It did not. Yeah,
right.
It becomes clear that it didn't. Yeah, it becomes clear that it didn't. Just by what was happening in the world, you know. Yeah.
Right. when people say, oh, it was definitely happened, I said, well, she said if it didn't, Russia would still be a problem. Is Russia still a problem? Yes. Well, I should answer that question just straight up.
Right.
Yes. Just real quick, the details on that were that and Pope John Paul II tried to do it, actually, in 1984, the very year we're talking about here. He tried to do that, but since communism had already spread to many other countries, he decided to say, consecrate the world to Her Immaculate Heart. But the instructions were to list Russia specifically, and he didn't. He said the world. And he was trying to do a better job by including all the countries Russia had affected.
Can
but
I say
you
something?
You have to be literal. Well, just a second. And the other thing that had to happen is all the bishops of the world had to be joined in on this, and they weren't in unison. So those little details kept it from being perfect. But Mary told Father, from Italy, from Marian Movement, I'm trying to remember his name. But anyway, she told him that good things would happen because it was a pretty good effort. Wasn't perfect, but there would be some changes. And after that, the Berlin Wall came down. Russia disintegrated into little countries, and it was no longer a major threat at that point in time, you know, within the next few years. So things did happen, even though it wasn't perfect. Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, John, for interrupting you.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that I'm a big, I've always been a big of the opinion that it was not consecrated, but then I read about him consecrating it to the world, and somebody said he had to consecrate the world because Russia had already spread her errors throughout the whole world. That's
right.
Why the world had to be. And, you know, Mary said it would be consecrated, but late. So, I don't know.
Right. Well, she said it was a pretty good effort, and there'd be some positive things from that. And there were some. There were years there where we didn't worry about Russia anymore at all. I mean, during the 90s, Russia was pretty absent. They were poor. They, you know, different things. They were selling everything. They were falling apart. I mean, it was quite different all of a sudden. So there was an impact, but they're just coming back, of course, because they weren't fully consecrated. Anyway, it'd be great if a pope now would actually do that. It'd be great. Might make
well, you remember about this time in our history, Ronald Reagan was standing in front of the Berlin Wall, and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That's right. In that same time.
All happened around that time.
Yeah, and it came down in 89. So, all right. Well, Virgin Mary told Maria that the presence of an unusual evanescent blue butterfly would appear and be a symbol of her presence. Let's say that again. An unusual evanescent blue butterfly would be a symbol of her presence. Many pilgrims to Britannia have had the joy and privilege of seeing this unique butterfly emerge from the waterfall grotto and fly around the church. So that's interesting that she told people she's going to make appearances like that. All right. And we're getting near the end of our time. We'll have next week, too, because we haven't even gotten to all the messages, and there's quite a few. But about 20 others had verbal contacts with Mary, and as many as 30,000 people gather on the 25th of each month to celebrate. On one occasion, Dr. Arrieta, stricken with prostate cancer, which had metastasized to his spine, was in attendance. In the morning, thousands saw the sun lose its light, turn pale, and then turn green in its center. Then, like at Fatima, the sun seemed to come down toward the screaming, fearful crowds. At that moment, Dr. Arrieta felt an infusion of heat throughout his body, which is typical with healings, and believed he was being healed at that very moment. Medical tests confirmed he was now completely free of cancer. By 1987, just 3 years, 500 miraculous cures had been documented at Batania. 500. And the church deemed these events to be authentic. Any comments on that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, nice. Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah, it is. All right. Let's see here. Well, I think we will stop there because the next thing that's going to happen is going to be a Eucharistic miracle. We'll start with that next week. Any final comments about this apparition so far? It's pretty amazing. There's just so many things happening and so many people experiencing things from 500 cures to 30,000 seeing the sun spin. And, you know, just it's got a lot of stuff going on here.
Well, I think it's, you know, God's mercy and the amount of lives that are being touched and changed and saved. And I think it all boils down to that, you know, that, you know, that she is spreading, you know, the light and the love and getting to all these people's hearts. It's very amazing.
It is. It really is. And, you know, like we said in the beginning, heaven has some kind of goal with each set of appearances and some kind of impact it wants to create. Remember, she said she wanted a church built on that area. So, and I'm sure it was.
Yep.
We'll hear about that probably next week. Kathy, any last comments from you?
Has there ever been an apparition that was proven false where there's healing?
Not that I'm aware of.
So you know how like
I wouldn't
condemned and you know I think
I wouldn't
if
be
there
surprised
was
though.
Healing, I think there if there was any healings with a condemned one, it would have been caused by the devil to begin with.
Well, that's a good point. Because it could be supernatural,
well,
but not necessarily from
heaven. Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. That it wouldn't necessarily have to be the devil, but that somebody believed so much that it happened, you know, that you could will it, and God could, you know, take it that far, you know, seeing how that person received it and letting that change their life. So yeah, I believe it's possible. I mean, those type of things have occurred medically and stuff, you know, where people have healings and because they just believed in something. They actually tried to give me a placebo in the hospital once, and once I found out that occurred, I you know, it's amazing. I didn't kill that doctor because my pain got really, really bad, and then finally it came out that he gave me a placebo because he didn't think I belonged taking everything I was taking, and he thought I was addicted, and then he saw the effects of me taking it. But the amount of people who have taken placebos and had healings, you know, there's many of them. Yeah, you know, many people have.
Right.
You know, it just didn't happen to me. Yeah.
And that's a good point because you could have a very dedicated follower and a strong Christian think an apparition might be going on. And because of their faith, God might bring on healing just because of their faith. We have healings every day, and Mary isn't showing up for all
gosh.
Those. So at least not that we know. Someone could, but to answer your question, Kathy, I'm not aware of a false one where healings took place. I'm not aware of one.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is, I'd be glad to hear about it, but I usually don't research the false ones anyway, so that's one reason I don't know of one. Anyway, we're near the end of our time here. Again, next week we will return to Betania for more amazing stuff and some of her messages for the world that she'll start giving. So that will be very interesting. The Eucharistic miracle and some other amazing things, stigmata. I mean, all sorts of things are going to happen here. So that should be well worth tuning in again. So
yes.
Thank you, Joseph.
John, hey, John, before you sign off, any update on Don? Any update on Donald?
I talked to him today. I talked to him today. In fact, he was going to pop in tonight, but he hasn't shown up. So, I mean, I'm ready.
Right.
He was wanting to say a few words, but the whole time I've been on, I haven't seen him pop on. So maybe he got distracted or something else came up, or maybe his wife told him he wasn't allowed. I don't know.
Possibility.
Yeah.
It's probably the last choice.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably went for the phone and she goes, no, you don't.
No.
But,
because he probably wouldn't hang up, that's why. You know. Yeah. He'd check in and stay on.
Well, I already told him if he talked too long I'd cut him off. So he already knew
that.
Oh,
good.
Put the hammer down if necessary, but I'd say he's about 90% there. He's a lot better,
nice.
But about 90% now. So anyway, he said he has more medical tests he's got to go through and some more things to have checked out, but he's working at it. So.
Good.
All right. Well,
goodness.
Any last words from you, Mike? Or Kathy? Anyone?
Well, this is all very interesting. I'm wondering if I was wondering the same thing, why you didn't research some of the ones that were not approved. And that would be an interesting instruction as to why they weren't approved. Now, what
I know
happened?
The main thing with most of those were the messages were so obviously not typical, like saying that Hillary Clinton should do this or that, or, I mean, they started to become political, like social media, and it was just not at all typical of Mary, and there were just things that were just didn't fit in, just didn't happen like all the other apparitions. But you're right, it's just that I was so eager to research all the good ones that I didn't have time to spend on the bad ones. So I was more information out. I mean, there's 2,600 some, and I've only studied 101, so I'm a little behind.
You're a little behind, yeah. Get moving.
Slightly.
Get moving, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to mute y'all and do our worldwide Hail Mary and then sign off. But please come back next week and join us. And all of you stay tuned because,
God bless
you,
buddy.
Thank you, Joseph. God bless you. A saint in the making. And thank you, Mike and Kathy, too, for all that you do making this show special. All right. So join with me now in saying a Hail Mary. We want all the voices around the world to join in. So in unison, they float up to heaven, and heaven hears the whole world saying a Hail Mary at the same time. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight from all over the world, and we appreciate your support and interest. Please come back next week as this story continues. Good night, and God bless.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.